And as we come to our sermon time, I invite you to please pray with me and pray for me. Lord God, take my words this morning and speak through them. Take our hearts this morning and speak to them. Holy Spirit, bring conviction to our hearts through your living word and initiate healing and transformation in our lives, all for the glory of your great name, Lord Jesus. Amen. I begin this morning with a question. Who inspires you? As men and women, as members of the human race, we all are inspired one way or another by men and women. Can you remember who first inspired you? I grew up in Pittsburgh in the 1970s, so I was inspired by members of the football team, the Pittsburgh Steelers. They won many Super Bowl championships, and they inspired me. As I played in my yard, I ignored my own reality, and in my mind's eye, I was Lynn Swann. Fast, graceful, making incredible diving catches. The reality that I was small, short, slow, and not so graceful didn't matter. Lynn Swann inspired me. We tend to be inspired by those who rise above everyone else, who exceed expectations, who provoke wonder, whether scholars or leaders or athletes or regular men and women around us. Men and women who are and who do so much more than we may ever do or think we will ever do. They inspire us sometimes to be better. But unfortunately, that inspiration can sometimes lead to depression and frustration when we fall short, when our own limitations and our own inadequacy is revealed in light of their greatness. Today, before us in our gospel reading, we have a different kind of inspirational figure. We have Peter. We know him through God's word as a leader of Jesus' 12 disciples. Last week, we heard the scripture read where Peter was declared by Jesus to be the rock upon whom the church was built. So Peter can be seen as inspirational, but definitely not in the same way as Lynn Swann or Serena Williams or Mother Teresa or even Alexander Hamilton. Maybe inspirational isn't the right word for Peter. Maybe motivational or maybe encouraging, maybe comforting. You see, Peter may be understood as the example of a disciple, possessing great faith to be emulated, but the historical record in the Gospels paint a very different picture. As I reflected on our Gospel reading this morning from Matthew chapter 16, and then as I reflected on Peter's journey as a disciple, I was inspired, but not inspired to be like Peter. I was inspired because I am already so much like Peter. In our reading from Matthew 16, we heard Jesus' declaration to his followers that he would soon suffer, be killed, and on the third day rise from the grave. Jesus declared this more than once, but this was the first time he had said it to the disciples. If you have your Bibles or your leaflets open, verse 22, in response to Jesus' prediction, Peter takes him aside, rebukes him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you." And then we hear Jesus' own harsh rebuke of Peter, verse 23. But Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me." I'm pretty sure at that point, none of the disciples wanted to be like Peter. Nor does this historical narrative inspire anyone listening to follow Peter's example. You may instead want to step away from Peter. But to understand what just happened, to understand how Peter inspires me, You must see the whole story, the big picture of Peter, and how he is so much like you. Peter's example is not that of super follower to be imitated or emulated, but as a real human with struggles, with brokenness, with imperfection, just like every one of you and just like me. So buckle your seatbelts. We're going to take a quick journey through the Gospel of Matthew, the entire Gospel of Matthew, watching Peter's growth as a disciple. So we first encounter Peter in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. Jesus approaches Peter and his brother, Andrew, as they work as fishermen. And Jesus says to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." But that's not the whole story of what happened there. Luke records a little bit more, that Peter had been up all night and had caught nothing. As a fisherman, that would be failure. Jesus climbs into his boat as the crowds are pressing around and says, "Push away from the shore." So Peter's feeling like a failure, wants to go home, and he's stuck in his boat with this guy. And then Peter listens as Jesus teaches. That's our first witness. After the teaching, Jesus says, "Now, Peter, go out a little bit further and drop your nets." And Peter says, "Yeah, whatever, but because you say so, I'll do that." And at the great catch of fish, we see another side of Peter. He's not just feeling like a failure. He then says to Jesus, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." Can you relate to Peter, his shame before this great man, Jesus? His regret at his own brokenness. "Get away from me." Jesus says, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be fishing for men." That's his first encounter. But then from Matthew 4 to Matthew 14, we don't hear about Peter by himself. He's just one of the disciples. You'd think the leader of all of the disciples, you'd hear his name a lot, but for 10 chapters, he's absent, except as just one of the disciples. But he followed. That's what he did. He was there. He listened. He asked questions along with the disciples. He was challenged. He saw God's power through Jesus, Jesus' divine nature in healings, freeing people from demonic possession. And then we come 10 chapters later to Matthew 14, where the disciples are on a boat on the lake. Jesus walks out, surprises them. They're all fearful, but he says, "Don't be afraid." There's that, "Don't be afraid." Again, "It's I, don't be afraid." And Peter then blurts out, "Well, if it really is you, call me out." And he steps out of the boat. And I'm not sure if this is to inspire us or if it's a cautionary tale, right? Peter steps out. He actually, "Well, if this is Jesus and he is, then I can do this." He actually walks on the water before he then sinks. Suddenly, his faith is great, but then suddenly, he's a failure again. Do you relate to Peter with this faith going up and down? Two more chapters of miracles and teaching. And then Jesus asks the disciples, "Well, this is what the crowds say, but who do you say that I am?" We read this past week in Matthew 16. Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," which inspires Jesus to proclaim, "Peter, you are the rock upon which the church will be built." Perhaps Peter is feeling a little better. But then we read today's reading. Immediately after that interchange, in essence, Jesus says, in light of the fact that Peter just proclaim that I'm the Christ, the Son of the living God, you need to know I'm going to be suffering. I'm going to die. And on the third day, I will rise. And Peter rebukes him. And then Peter must have been feeling pretty good about himself. "I'm now the rock." He rebukes Jesus. And then Jesus harshly. Have you heard a rebuke like that from Jesus ever? No. "Get behind me, Satan. You're a hindrance." Wonder how Peter's feeling then. Can you relate? Can you imagine? Matthew 17 through 19, we see Peter a few times, but it's not always flattering. Chapter 17, Peter goes up onto the mountain with Jesus, with two others. Jesus is transfigured, and what's Peter doing? Probably still smarting from the rebuke, but he starts to talk about building huts. He doesn't know how he stands with Jesus. He doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't know what to say. Do you relate to Peter there? Probably still feeling conviction, shame, and regret. Then, a little bit later in Matthew 17, Peter asks about paying tax. I don't want to break the rules, Jesus, but do we pay tax? Jesus says, well, whose image is on the coin? I'm not sure if that's the same thing, but Jesus tells Peter, yes, we're going to pay tax, but you go fishing. Why didn't Jesus just give him a coin? Go fishing, and the first fish you catch, open its mouth, you'll find the coin. Jesus then, wonderment, sees Jesus' power. Not all of these things are making a great case for Peter, are they? Matthew 18, Peter asks, in light of Jesus' just teaching on forgiveness, okay, Jesus, how often do I have to forgive others? 7 times? Jesus says, no, 70 times 7. Why did Peter ask? Well, it's because he was dealing with unforgiveness. Maybe it was with the other disciples, dealing with harboring bitterness. Do you relate to Jesus there? Not able to forgive others. Matthew 19, Peter responds to Jesus' teaching again. Jesus had just taught the rich young ruler, if you're going to follow me, there it is again, if you're going to follow me, sell everything and give it to the poor, then follow. And the rich young man goes away sorrowful. Well, what's Peter's response there? Peter says to Jesus, what about us? We've left everything. What do we get? Not humble. There's entitlement there. What are we going to get? Peter's a mess. Can you relate to him demanding, look at what I've done? He hasn't done anything, but he's covering for himself. I guess he's insecure. What do I get because I'm so good at following you, Jesus? Peter asks. From Matthew 19 then to 26, again, 7 chapters, Peter's absent except as a member of the group. The triumphal entry to Jesus' teaching. Jesus is teaching and Peter's following. He's listening. Again, there's the posture. He's listening. He's observing. He's being challenged. He's being changed. Probably still enduring shame from Jesus' rebuke, shame remembering his sin, wondering, am I good enough? Does Jesus accept me? Have I lost it? Do you relate to Jesus there? Until the Passover meal, Matthew 26, and at the end of the meal, Jesus says, you will all fall away. What's Peter do? Does Peter humbly say, I probably will? No. He stands up and he says, never, Lord. I will never fall away. He's posturing again, covering for this insecurity, for his shame, for his regret. I'll never fall away. And Jesus says, tonight, you will disown me 3 times. And what happens next? We know. The one that Peter declared to be the Christ, the Son of the living God, Peter protects his own life. He seeks to save his own life and says, I don't know him. And at the end of the episode, he goes away weeping. More shame, more regret, more failure. Do you relate to Peter's example? Peter's an example for every man and every woman. He gives every one of us hope. Because if Peter can be the one on whom the church is founded, that gives me hope. We all have hope. No matter how much we fail, no matter how much we struggle or give in to temptation, hope remains in view in Peter as Peter continued to follow, to get up and to follow. No matter what his failure, he followed. That's what gives me hope. I don't have to be perfect. I'm not expected to get everything right, but to keep listening, to keep watching, to keep learning, to follow him, to get back up when I failed again and follow. I'm never beyond hope. You are never beyond hope, just like Peter. The second half of our reading today, after Peter's harshly rebuked, Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, so if anyone would follow me, they must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For anyone who seeks to save their life will lose it. But anyone who loses their life for my sake will find it. In a sense, Jesus predicted Peter's failure. If you try to save your life, you're going to lose it. To follow Jesus, we must be humble. We must deny our goodness, our rights, our entitlement to anything. We must take up our cross. We must lose our lives and our rights for his sake to find true life. Peter's final example, at the end, after Jesus is resurrected, Peter humbles himself. Matthew doesn't record it. Matthew leaves it as Peter's denied him, and then Jesus is resurrected, and then Jesus says, go, therefore, and make disciples. Peter's not mentioned again. But John records Peter's transforming encounter, where Peter and some others have gone fishing. They don't know what to do. I'm sure Peter is despondent at this point. And yet, while they're fishing, there's a voice from the shore, throw your net on the other side, because they haven't caught anything. They catch a huge number of fish. And Peter realizes, that's Jesus. And what's he do? He can't get out of the boat fast enough to swim to go be with Jesus. And yet when he gets there, what do you think he's feeling? Well, we know because we've all felt that before. Shame. Guilt. Regret. Now what? And in the midst of that encounter on the beach, Jesus says to Peter, Peter, do you love me? Well, yes, I love you. Do you love me? Three times. Do you love me? Finally, Peter, broken, says, you know I love you, Lord. And it's in that moment as he humbles himself, he's forgiven. He's changed and he never is the same again. There's no more demanding, no more shameful cowering, no more entitlement. Peter goes on from that scene, transformed. And you know what Jesus' last words were there? After he restored Peter? Two words, follow me. That's his example to you and me, no matter how bad it gets. None of you has fallen further than Peter. He gives us hope, and for that we can rejoice. He inspires me to be better, not because he was better than me. He inspires me because I see myself and my own struggles in him, because he is so much like me. And I pray today you are challenged by Peter's humility, his humanity, more importantly. His allowing Jesus to rebuke and correct and restore him and receiving that, and his continuing to persevere and to follow, that you will follow Jesus no matter what. You'll be inspired by Peter's humility in receiving Jesus' rebuke and correction, and in repentance, receiving Jesus' forgiveness and restoration. Jesus can use you just like he used Peter. We all have hope in Peter's example. And if you'll follow Peter's example, as he followed Jesus, then you will be like Peter. You will declare the good news of the gospel in Jesus Christ through persecution. through correction, through failure. You will be full of God's Holy Spirit and therefore Jesus' light to a broken world. Hope to those who have no hope. Do you know how many people don't have hope? They're just living in shame. They're lost. They're trying to find. And they can't apart from Jesus. As you follow Jesus, as you follow Peter's example, you will be a source of hope for the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.